I never did get an answer from Ms. Runnels. Do you have this physician's facility that Ms. Means was talking about?
We have direct contracts with different providers, but I will tell you, we move forward with a lot of caution with that for some of the reasons like you've already heard in this room. Also, there's COBRA concerns. When someone leaves employment here, if they elect COBRA, then they have to be given, offered the exact same benefit as what the active employees have. And if someone elects COBRA and moves away, then I wouldn't say that having an on-site clinic or a direct primary care physician would offer them that same service. And also, something else that I would like to add to that is, and I've heard, you know, customer concern situations and things like that. We do have, you would have, Upshur County employees would have, two assigned patient advocates at our office that are Group 1 licensed agents that would be available to your employees through phone or email or FaceTime, whatever they need to be able to help them with their explanations of benefits or bills that they get that they don't understand, to have claims audited for them, to put money back into the employees' pockets.
And Ms. Melton, do you have that privacy care?
So part of our due diligence for all of our clients is to look at the direct primary care model. I currently do not have any clients that have taken that step to implement that due to various reasons. Some was the per employee per month cost was too high for them. They didn't think it would be utilized that much. They did not feel like their employee base would want to use direct primary care over their existing relationships. So we do have the ability, we do have those relationships, but we don't have any clients who elected to do that at this time.
And I keep hearing on-site care brought up. I've not heard one broker say anything about an on-site clinic or anything like that.
Yeah, I think that was not communicated.
Yeah,
right.
So I just want to make that clear. We're not saying that on-site care is something that we're wanting, because that's,
I think this, I'm hearing it. What we're doing is that our esteemed colleagues have used a model that was, or looked at models that were broken that didn't work.
Correct.
We have the data from 3 years showing that the way we have it built, and it integrates in with the provider network, so you keep your current providers. So it's like this gentleman said, if you were to go to one of the primary care doctors, they would then call that cardiologist and say, they've been here, this is what happened. Our primary care doctors for the urgent care and after hours, and you can use them during hours if you like, but they always communicate with your regular doctor and assist with that regular doctor. They help us reach out to those members. You talked about the drug costs and things
like
that.
And the stress test costs. I've heard that right when I moved to East Texas, $1,100 out of pocket for a stress test. Okay, what's going to happen if you don't go get that stress test? Why wouldn't we make it a lower pay pricing through our MyMD Select model, that the out-of-pocket is nothing if it's under $500? So if you can, I want a stress test for zero, because that person is going to be a ticking time bomb every year. And what happens? They end up being a $200,000 claim, which is going to affect all of Upshur County employees. So I don't want people to have to pay for a stress test. It's my suggestion you write it in the plan that we find it at a cheaper price. If you go to this facility, it's zero. If you go to this facility, it's going to be $1,100, whatever it is. But that's the option you give them, because again, it's hard to come out of pocket $800 or $1,100 for me.
Really quick, please.
I just want to clarify, the models that we were looking at were not broken. They worked very well.
Okay.
Does that model do away with TRIA?
With TRIA, yeah. So I've heard from this gentleman over here, when I took over ETEX, I had people, why are these people calling me? I'm like, I had never heard of the program, because I've just never, it's just, I don't want somebody reaching out to me about my medication that I don't know. So it's a little different. You know, if you have a doctor, it's something that Jennifer said earlier. If I have my concierge nurse calling me like, hey, did you get your prescription? Hey, we found a copay card. Hey, we found a manufacturer firm. I'm going to be way more receptive than an 800 number calling. And you currently are paying for TRIA and Teladoc, which, you know, I've seen your Teladoc reports, and I know how much you're paying for it, and I know how it's not being utilized. So to me, it's a waste of money.
But Commissioner Gentry, haven't you done a pretty good study on TRIA, whether or not it's saving us any money or not?
Not TRIA. Consulted the Teladoc.
Okay.
Judge Betterton, your turn.
Well, Judge, I was going to say, because I knew that two more really wanted to speak. The main thing that I think we're losing a little grasp here on some of the questions is, these are people that are going out to broker with insurance companies, pharmaceuticals, and private doctors to save the taxpayers' money. The medical part of it is going to fall under your third-party administrator. So we're kind of mixing it together, but we're here to find, somebody that's going to protect the county, the employees, and everybody else. That's where we're kind of needing to, and I've got some questions on that, but we've got to get past the medical part. And I don't want to tie up much time because I see some others that really wanted to speak.
Andy Jordan's next.
Well, I'm kind of like Judge Betterton. I have a whole list, but I'll pick one that's been asked me several times. Of the four companies here, do you offer retiree insurance? And if so, at what cost to the employees?
Okay, let me take a stab at that first. It's my understanding under a federal law that's in the United States called COBRA, and that's some crime ominous bill, something, it's a weird acronym. When you leave employment or retire, we still have to offer you insurance for different periods of time, 18 months, sometimes 36. A divorce can trigger that, or retirement or separation. But I don't think the law requires that it be at the same cost that you had while you're working. So as a practical matter, Congress gets together like they do in Austin. Oh, we're the saviors of the world. We're taking care of you. Nobody can afford COBRA unless you got a rich, rich ex-husband that's going to pay it. Because the premium is three times what it was. So I don't want to get in the weeds on that just yet. Just bear with me. Mr. Grundin?
I just kind of want to say kind of what Ms. Mullen said a while ago about, helping claims and stuff. Because I had a claim this last year. It took 8 months to get paid. And finally, Maddie got on the phone with somebody. I don't know what she did, but she finally got it claimed. And, the whole time that this is going on, the hospital is done to me for the money.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't get the insurance company to even respond to me. So I just want to say that, whoever we go with, we need somebody that's going to help us explain for the employees and stuff.
How many brokers that we have here actually works with Health First? Does everybody work with our current third party?
So we're going to keep Health First.
All this is
brokers. I don't know.
This
don't know.
This is the brokers for other people to find other savings.
That's what the consultants and brokers do, is they find you the best bang for your buck. I want to speak a minute about to all of the consultants, because that is a grand concern Mr. Grundin has, and I've personally been involved in some of this claims concerns. It's my understanding this physician or hospital, whatever, does their business. They supposedly submit a bill to Health First, who then turns it over to UMR, which tries to negotiate or looks in to see what the best price is and all that kind of stuff. And what's lost in this shuffle is a months of trying to get this thing cleaned up. So my question to the consultants and brokers is, how involved are you? Are you the first in line for our department, our HR department? Are you first in line, or do they have to be first in line? Who's going to take care of our employees when they get a bill and they don't understand in the first place?
Mr. Burkett, if I could speak to that. The whole reason that our company was founded was on an advocacy model. We were founded in 1996 by Dawn Brinson, who she and I worked together at an insurance company called Transport Life Insurance Company. And her job as a general underwriter at that time was to, this was before the Affordable Care Act, but to look for ways to cancel people's coverage. Look for ways to cancel their policies. So what launched into our company was one day she had to tell a woman from California whose premium was received that day on the deadline, but only hours past the deadline, that we were going to cancel her coverage. And she had terminal brain cancer. So at that very moment, Dawn Brinson, within 2 weeks, took $40,000 out of her 401k, went to her dad, who was a financial planner, and said, hey, do you have room in your office for me? Because I'm not going to work for insurance companies anymore. I'm going to give people their coverage back. So with a brass desk, with a glass top and a telephone, she started Brinson Benefits April 1st, April Fool's Day, 1996, based on an advocacy model. Advocating for the employer in the market so that you're not coached to accept trend, to accept, well, you know, it's bad out there. Trend is 8%. Poppycock. To advocate for your employees who are so confused by our healthcare system and overwhelmed with bills that they get that they don't understand. We have advocates in our office that work with your employees. We don't have customer service. If they come to work for us, and we're believing they're an advocate, and they turn out to be a customer service rep, they don't last long. You have to have heart to deal with things like this every day. Passionate about that, sorry.
I'd like to say something. I've been the consultant for Titus County for 7 years, and I think there are a lot like y'all are. There's about 135 people, right? 280 total people in counting the dependents. And probably not a day goes by that one of us doesn't get a call on a claim. Things aren't processed correctly, or they don't understand the EOB. Titus County is actually insured directly with UMY. So we have the contact. They don't call their HR people. Their HR people don't even know when they have an issue. They either call me or Jessica, or we have two other people in the office. That's how there, and there's not going to be an easy fix. Anybody that tells you there is, they're not telling you the truth. You know, there's so much. Every day is different. Every claim's different. Every person's situation's different. We had a thing last week with Titus County where UMR got the bill and the doctor's office had put the wrong physician's number on the bill. There were two or three physicians in that clinic, and they just simply put the wrong number on it. And it took the other person in our office getting UMR and the doctor's office on a phone call to figure out what it was, because they kept on denying the claim. I mean, it happened, I mean, probably 2 weeks went by, but finally Gail was able to get it straightened out. That's the thing that you've got to look at. That's going to be a personal relationship. You know, we all sell the same stuff. We all have access to the same stuff. What you've got to look at is whether or not you've got a personal relationship with whoever it is you pick. And because until you got that, you know, we're all just a commodity.
She said something that interested me. You said Titus County is insured directly with UMR. There's no third party?
Correct.
No third party administrator?
Well, UMR is the third
party. Besides them, there's nobody in between.
So can I make a comment on all these billing issues that are coming up? So all of us have patient advocacy. All of us do 24/7 work. I know y'all get cell phone calls on the weekend. I get people at times. It is what we do. Our world 10 years ago was not like this. It was a fully insured crazy model. You had a few self-funded clients. It's changed and it's evolved. But I keep hearing all these billing issues, and that's kind of where my head can't wrap around that, because again, building direct models, and I know that Brinson, you know, they're good at doing this. I've heard that they do it a lot in the major metropolitan areas, and it's, you know, again, it goes back to the self-funded employer has money, right? You have money that you're willing to spend on your employees' health care. The hospital CEO and CFO, they love not having to worry about collect money or deductibles. That's the first thing we talk about. So all of these middle pieces, UMR, UHC, Blue Cross, United, Cigna, Aetna, it's great. We hit a 60% discount because we racked the charge masters of the hospital up, right? Great, we racked the cost of care up to hit a discount. That's not healthcare anymore. That's what's broken with our system. And so I guess to me, you know, and I've had Health First, I think I have six Health First customers right now that we've kind of pulled that model back in-house away from UMR, because why are we relying on UMR to set an arbitrary price to hit an arbitrary discount, right? It doesn't make any sense. So when you as Upshur County, which you're a very high profile account in this area, you can go to the hospital system saying, hey, we need a third party administrator like Health First to process our direct agreement. I don't see when you take a certain percentage and you have it in writing, why would these claims issues come up? You know, UMR, y'all are a tiny little account to them. UMR owns OptumRx, the biggest pharmaceutical company in the United States, right? They don't care about your claims. They don't care about your members. So that's just my recommendation. I don't understand why all of these billing issues are coming up, because personally, I don't have a lot of bills coming in and people complaining unless they're on a UMR, Blue Cross, or Aetna, or Cigna, because let's face it, they're giants and they don't care about a 200-plus company. So that's kind of put my two cents in, is I would try to alleviate, take away anybody having billing issues whatsoever. I think that's a big part of what's going on.
But people make mistakes, things happen, and when they do, on all of our materials, they have our cell phones even. We answer the phones on the weekends, our whole team does. We answer phones after hours, because that's what matters to us, is how we keep our clients. And when you do your references, you'll hear that from people, that's what we do. That we get in there and we fix those problems as quickly as possible for our clients.
Judge.
Okay, I've got a question. When y'all went out for the RFPs, y'all had access to go through Health First and get our information from the county. Did all of y'all get that?
No.
Did you not? Was there any? Okay, so it's going to be hard for me to ask this question, but I want to ask you, did anybody else get it?
I got it back in way September.
How come it wasn't available?
It's been available.
Did they not know that? Because my understanding was that was the whole purpose, is for them to get the county's information so I can ask this question. Do you want to ask me a question?
We got aggregate claim reporting, but we didn't get claims runs to do any type of analysis.
See, my question was going to be, if you did that, how much money, by looking at the numbers, could y'all save Upshur County today?
Never received.
Okay.
See, I have a...
To answer your question, I wrote that letter. I wrote it and sent it out so that they would have that option. They were given, I sent it to Demetra, I sent it to Rachel. I made sure from the judge that I would be able to do that, and he told me that I could as a member of the court.
In the RFP, if I have to physically drive over and pick up the claim spot.
I feel like they're not getting a fair shake, Judge. And did any of them contact y'all and y'all turn them back?
No, Rachel got it.
I know that's
it.
Not
she
my job.
It for me, and I said she got it. I don't remember how.
That's old data. It's September 2018.
And then I had a hard time getting it to Demetra, but eventually it did get posted to the FTP site.
Well, you know, hold on a minute. I don't think anybody expects y'all, you know, when you hire a new running back, how many yards you going to get against Clemson next year? All he can say is, I'm going to run the ball hard as I can, coach. So everybody's got access to all the information that's public if they want to come mine it out.
Well,
I don't think I have to know that answer
okay,
to that,
then,
to,
then
you know, because I'm being told as the county judge, and I'm the newest guy to the party here, that we need a insurance consultant / broker. And I'm being told that would alleviate a bunch of work off of two or three employees in the treasurer's office, and that we need that somebody can, the people can call and say, where can I and can I not go? And I'm not, I'm just one of five members up here going to jerk the rug out from under anybody. Okay, I mean, I'm not here to like, you know, some cut rate deal. Part of what we do for people in Upshur County is pretty decent health insurance coverage. And I, at least one out of five guys intend to continue that because that's part of their pay. We do not pay people enough to work in the government up here. And I got people that work up here Saturdays and Sundays. And so it's not that broad with me. We had an office that did this, and we don't have any more. We're simply looking for a new one. So I think, you know, we've got a third-party administrator, and I hope I'm not speaking out of school, but I'm pretty happy with what y'all are doing. When major time bills come in and you say, well, you know, this is all your elves are for, y'all are doing pretty decent on your end. And then these consultants we're talking about would come in the middle, you know, wouldn't be stepping in your turf. Just to give people an idea, I'm cool with saying, giving everybody a laminated card that says if you got a snotty nose and you want to go down to Fluffy Bunny and pet the rabbits and eat popcorn and watch a movie, we're not going to pay that, but you can go to ER 1, 2, 3, or this one in town. That's good, but you know, this high dollar stuff, they won't even be in business next year, by the way. We're not, that's okay. I don't think anybody's talking about some communistic deal. We're going to pick a doctor, make everybody go see some guy that's here. Cause, you know, your doctor may be in DFW or Houston or something, depends on what kind of problem you have. So, but you go ahead and ask them the question.
Well, that question was, how much money did you save the county today by looking at the numbers, which y'all don't have the numbers, so I'm going to skip that one. My next question is, do any of y'all accept override or bonus payments from the carriers once you're hired by Upshur County or whatever?
No, that's in the contract, no.
So we'll get the rebates.
Work for Upshur County, work
okay.
For our fee.
Hold on a second though. It's my understanding that the county has what the layman referred to as a stopgap insurance policy. And so after any one covered employee reaches, I think $70,000 or whatever it is, that it is true insurance coverage. It pays all of that. Whoever procures that for us gets paid for getting us the policy, don't they, or do they?
It depends. I mean, you have people that have broker fees that are usually commission built into that stop loss contract. But usually with a municipality or a county, you have a direct consulting fee and you say, I won't accept anything outside of that from your PBM, your stop loss carrier, your network. You know, there are all kinds of pockets to hide money in health insurance, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, when you go down to get your car insured, they're going to give the guy that sold you the insurance a fee for writing the insurance. You wanted to say something? Yes, ma'am.
Our contract would be written net commissions. No commissions. No commissions from the carriers. No overrides, no commissions.
Even on that umbrella stopgap
right.
Policy?
Right. Yes, sir. Net commissions, zero.
Is that the same way
That's
with
the
ward?
That's the same way with us. We have a flat
fee. You? Yes. Boy, y'all are giving the chicken coop away. How about you?
Yeah, the policy, the contract are written with no commissions, but what we were just talking about is that Higginbotham as a whole does receive and probably overrides from some ancillary, but that's how we afford to pay for cover administration, 125 administration, all the things that we give you in the day two services.
Right. Correct. None of that compensation goes back to the individual broker, so we have no vested interest in where we place it other than what's in your best interest. But there are funds, because we're such a large broker, we're the largest independent broker in the state, disperse as overrides, but again, that goes to
the
services that we provide.
Let me clear up your concern about them not getting all this information that you thought they needed to propose this or that. We're not looking for a new insurance company. We are looking for a consultant that will find us, once they get this information, the best place to place our insurance for you.
You are the insurance company.
That's what I
put. Upshur County is.
That's why we're hiring this consultant.
Just so everybody understands, we're self-funded.
That's all.
But the deal is on that, Commissioner, is if they looked at the numbers, they could go through and see where the county's being overcharged.
Eventually, that's exactly right. What we're concerned about is who's the best person to do that job for the best money so we can get this thing on the road.
Yeah.
And that's where I was getting at, is that way it's one step closer, because if they had the numbers and they worked it, then we'd know how hard they're going to work for the county.
That's a good question, but I'm not holding that against anybody that's here.
We talked about money. We discussed money.
Thank you, Judge. Go ahead.
We discussed money and brokerage fees or whatever. We've already got what you told us you're going to charge us. My concern is with Health First, what we're paying, you as our consultant, we're paying Health First as a third-party administrator. I've always believed, and Rachel, I'm sorry if this rubs on a nerve, but I've always believed that we're double dipping, that we're paying a consultant and we're paying the third-party administrator in a portion of their insurance fees. What we're paying you.
No, that's not. I'm glad you asked that so I can clear it up.
Okay.
They're not double dipping. Those are two different functions, and the only way they exist is to receive a very tiny percentage of the claims y'all handle.
We get paid an admin fee, and that's how we get paid.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Within that admin fee, and let's let the consultants answer that. Do you think that...
But do the pie chart for you? I like pie charts.
Okay, hold on a minute, everybody. I'm watching the clock. And I'm watching this right here. Okay. Time out.
Yes, well.
Mr. Dodson and Ms. Mullins, what kind of time frame, if the court takes action, do we need to get this done? Is we under some... What kind of constraints?
We're under five constraints.
Yeah. Say again?
As soon as possible.
As soon as possible.
Okay, what if it's not till 3 or 4 weeks?
Well, that puts more pressure on whoever you do hire to,
It's time to start working with them now.
Actually, that question's best served to them.
Okay, so you would like the court to take action on this at the next regular court meeting?
I would.
Which would be next week?
Yes.
Okay. You feel the same way?
We do open enrollment the 1st of September.
And that's coming fast.
They don't give them much time.
Okay. All right, who did I cut off? Anybody? Mr. Jordan?
Well, Miss
me.
Rachel.
And then I'll get back to y'all. Let me have Mr. Jordan. Yes, sir.
Once again, I'm speaking for the employees. It's y'all's job to figure out the cost, their job to manage, Greg's job to overlook everything. I'm worried about the employees. You four companies. Currently, we have Tria Health. We have an annual visit that... It has been brought up in the past. If we don't get it, it's a payroll deduct. We have insurance is a company built off of fear. You fear something's going to happen to you, so you get insurance. What does your company offer for the employee? An example of that. One big aggravation to me has always been, believe it or not, I pay for a gym membership. Lost 21 pounds, by the way. I know the sheriff does also. We go to the same place. But other than having a fear factor like a payroll deduct, what does your company offer as far as a benefit for the employee, as far as a gym membership, as far as any incentives to get healthy? And I'm speaking from the employee standpoint. What does your company offer for the employee?
So, if I could speak to that, once again, we're not an insurance company, right? Upshur County is the insurance company. So,
can I interrupt you just a second? I don't mean that aimed as towards, like, what does the insurance company offer? What incentives are available to your people that could be offered to the employee at a zero cost?
That would be a discussion that any of us who are hired would have with whoever the insurance committee is as to what they want to achieve here, what the goals are. If they want to pay for gym memberships, they can certainly pay for gym memberships.
It's not something that an independent consulting firm would bring. It would be part of a wellness program that would be figured out between the insurance committee and whoever it is they're working with.
And I'd like to say something with that. Peking Falcon does have an actual wellness or health risk management department. There are four registered wellness consultants that we have to work with our groups. What they'll do is they'll evaluate your plan. The crazy thing about wellness plans is that they have to be federally compliant. There's actually a law that tells you what you can and cannot do inside a wellness plan. So our consultants will actually do a three-year plan, starting you small, because you've got to do those baby steps. You can't threaten somebody and without having it where, you know, the carrot or the stick. You know, so you're going to try to give them the carrot. And because of their accessibility with what is available in the marketplace, they can actually suggest ways to implement a wellness plan that's going to be accepted and will be benefit your folks. Titus just actually started one this past year. We had on-site biometric screens where we actually encouraged people to come and had...
Hold.
Sorry.
Okay, please continue. We had to change the tape.
Okay, I think. Okay, and so we actually had really great participation with those. We did it over a 2-week period, and then we're going to come back and look at the overall projection of that. And the great thing is that maybe that first year there may not be any way to actually give somebody something, but that actually identifies maybe where you need to focus, whether it's with obesity training, you know, if we do need to see about offering a gym membership, or if there's a high rate of blood pressure problems, or whatever the issues apply. But, and then you were going to say the type 2 one?
Well, in addition to the biometric screenings, we use Advanced Plan for Health, and I know personal health does as well, to look at those people that are utilizing your medical plan and seeing those risks. So we marry the risk within your plan along with the biometric screenings for people who may not have gone to the physician to create that wellness program. But once we create the program, the most important thing is implementing it, getting it out to your employees. Because if you have a plan and people don't understand what that plan is, it does nothing for you. So our communications team partners with your account management team to get the plan in place, to communicate the plan, and to be the cheerleaders for it. Because in the end, it's about making employees trust their benefits, be happy for their benefits, and wanting to be invested in the plan so that they understand, hey, this is self-funded. The county is paying for this. And if I misuse my plan or if I don't take care of my wellness, I'm going to cost the county more money, which is going to cost me more money. So there's different education pieces you can also do on what does it mean to be self-funded. We've created those communication pieces for many of our self-funded employees.
Thank you, ma'am. Hold on. Now, let me work it this way. Then you'll be either one of the wards want to answer this question.
About,
do you remember what the question was?
I think that we have obviously a health and wellness department, and there's a lot of resources that are available as part of our service. We'd be happy to negotiate local providers and do direct contracting for a discount for any membership. There's not a membership included, but certainly there are programs that encourage that, and we could, you know, certainly direct employees to the best deal. But obviously anything that's a membership that's paid ultimately would be paid by the county.
Well, and that I understand. I don't want y'all to think that everyone wants something for free. But what the question is more aimed towards is showing it more in a positive light. Let's do something in a preventative manner, other than in a negative light, okay, we're going to take your money. These people can't afford to take their money.
Okay.
It's that simple.
So I still want that question.
So I can actually speak to the biometric screenings. We've been doing them for years, and they do not work for every demographic. If I have a group of 500 attorneys and their spouses, they get it. They get we want to aggregate the data. I actually had a company that has about 1,500 employees, and they wanted to do biometric screenings. This was 2 years ago. And we sit face-to-face, my whole team, with every employee one-on-one. I had a gentleman that actually actually thought I was going to sell his blood to the government. He did not want to give me his blood. He asked me, what are you going to do with my blood? And so this goes back.
I have a lot of drunk drivers that feel the same way. They're not going to, they don't want to donate their blood.
So if you're going to say to county employees, again, it goes back to demographics, salaries, your income, and you say, you bring your spouse in, you sit down, we're going to draw your blood, and then we're going to give you this packet of 40 pages, which is great. Somebody like me that geeks out on data and likes looking at triglyceride levels and looking at pharmacy utilization, that's fantastic. But let's be realistic. Are you going to sit all your county employees down and mandate that they give you their blood along with their spouses so you can aggregate data when they don't even know what you're talking about aggregating data? Of course we want to find this evidence. Of course we want to find any issues that are going on out there. And I'm a true believer in biometric screenings to the right population. One example, we have a manufacturing company out in Kilgore. They have about your size, 200 employees, probably 350 belly buttons. And we found out there was a woman, we took over last year, there was a woman trying to gain weight to qualify for gastric bypass surgery. Can you even wrap your head around trying to gain weight to get a weight loss surgery? So we found out she actually had a thyroid issue, hormone imbalance, get her hormone pellets, get her going. She's dropped, like, I think it was 25 pounds as of last week when we met with the group. Stuff like that, a wellness plan is hard to put an ROI on, right? You have to pay for wellness. If you want to implement anything, a free gym program, it's like Medicare for all. It's not free. Somebody's going to pay for it, right? So you can't sit out there and say that a biometric screening program, a wellness program, a gym program is going to work for your population until you know the population you're dealing with. So it's back to his question, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all.
I'm going to take the
I still got to get the answer to my question from the consultant. As I said, I think it's in my heart of hearts that in some way we're paying extra when we have a consultant and we're paying you and we have a third party administrator for administrating fees, that fee in some way could be reduced, that administrative fee could be reduced with the right consultant. Is there a disagreement in that? Do you disagree with me?
So I believe he had that didn't he? I would say that Health First. With 6-7 different TPAs, Health First is historically known to have one of the lowest admin fees. Just that $18 is what you pay per employee per month. Now it's $10 for the ADP UHC network, right? And then you have all the TRIA and Teladoc in there. It's not really lower. The admin fees go to the back to that pie chart, right? So your admin fees should be about 15% of your spend. We need to worry about 85% of your spend, right? That's where we're going to make the impact. And so hiring a consultant for 50 grand, why don't you say, okay, I'll pay you 50 grand if you put 50% of your fee at risk and you hit this goal of saving money. I mean, that's what, to me, counties, cities, especially ISDs that I've been working with, they still pay consultants and they don't save them money. How does that make any sense? How does your consultant get paid if they haven't saved you any money? That's really what you need to be talking about, not the admin part of it, because it's just such a small portion. Because Health First, you're not paying the stop loss bill to them. It seems like you are because it's going on that bill, but the stop loss premium is your big part. And that's going to be going to your stop loss carrier. Health First only makes, God, I calculated with Paul, I don't remember, it was like not much at all. I mean, $18 per employee per month, that's not a lot.
One of the wards had a hand.
Yes, I do. You know, I think it goes back to you've got capable consultants in this room. And I think that as if you were to take a survey of governmental entities, I would say, I haven't done a formal survey, probably 99% of them use some sort of a consultant. And why is that? I think it's because we bring value both from a compliance standpoint and a savings standpoint. We've tied, I think it's easy for us to save money. I go back to the initial assessment. We have relationships with a lot of different markets. People that have gone direct, I've got some customers that said they went direct, they compared the cost. We, because of our negotiations and preferred markets, I think we more than pay for our fee. And I've experienced that time and time again. And I think the same could be said for anybody in this room. That's why they use it. They don't like, maybe they like us, but I think we bring value. And those markets that we know and the negotiation, the discounts we can achieve, either through direct negotiation or through selecting the right provider, are critical. And I might go on to say that I think that a lot of the discussion today has been about which model fits best for this county. I think we can do direct primary contracting, but I think it goes back to, if your goal is just to save money and you don't consider the effects of what each of those approaches would be, that's the initial due diligence that has to occur. It has to be in collaboration with you guys, because I can save you money. It's kind of like that Midas commercial. We'll make it fit. We'll save you money. But what is the cost going to be to Employee Goodwill? And I think there are a lot of good models out there. And I think, yes, I think each member of in here, I think we more than can justify the value we bring, and I can give you testimonials of that value. I don't think it's a duplication. It's a great question. Why, you know, eliminate the middleman, save money? But I think that the value we bring in terms of lowering the claim, the compliance is a separate issue, can save and benefit, and not only help with HR resources as well, which is an added cost as well. So I think the fee that we quoted, I think certainly, I can't speak for others, but I'm very confident we can justify that.
Are you guys good with taking a meal break up here in the court? Okay, I want to thank all you guys that come up here to see us for coming. Court's going to be in recess till 1:30, and then the court's going to reassemble, and we're probably going to do more talking up here on this side of the table than on that side. So we don't really need you guys here. If you want to, it's a public meeting. It's up to you. But, being the judge, sometimes you got to funnel things down. So y'all all made good presentations, and I personally have been impressed with everybody sitting in this room. And I want to thank you for going to the time and trouble of submitting these proposals and coming up here to back them up. I mean that. But for right now, this court will be in recess to 1:30. Then I need the court back here at 1:30. Thank you.